There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Friday Eve, getting ready for the big extended Independence Day weekend. By the way, Garrett Wade, the winner of our Let Freedom Ring Summer Contest, over $3,000 worth of goods. Big thank you to all of you participating and, of course, our sponsors in that as well. Garrett's got the whole kit and caboodle, and that kayak that's been sitting in my office that I've been so jealous over. He's picking it up tomorrow. So good stuff, and more to talk about. Programming notes coming up on Monday. We will not be, this show won't be live, and Jeff's show won't be live. It won't be, because we're going to be airing like we do on Memorial Day weekend, like we do at the end of the year, the Fisher House. And we're, you know, as national charities go, I'd say in running with, even though I see Fight or Die as a local charity, but they are a national charity. And you heard a conversation I had earlier this week with my buddy Bryant Knight about that. Fisher House is, for us, our national charity of choice. The best way I tell people what Fisher House does is what Ronald McDonald House does for families that have children in hospitals, so they can be in a home with people that understand what they're going through nearby the hospital. That is what Fisher House does for our men and women in the military. So when they're at a VA facility, here stateside or internationally, Fisher House builds facilities, homes, for the families to be there and be there when their loved ones are in those VA hospitals. And it's so very special. The stories of this, you're going to listen to that on Monday. You'll see what I'm talking about. Plus, there's a program. I always like to throw this in. If you have frequent flyer miles you're never going to use, you can donate those to Fisher House. And by the way, do your own research. Go to a Charity Navigator, any of them, and look at how highly ranked Fisher House is and the money they give back to the cause. And they take frequent flyer miles and give those to military families to be able to fly them where they need to be with those loved ones that are in VA facilities. So that's coming up on Monday here on FM Talk 106.5. Coming up tonight at 6 and Thursday nights at 6, my buddy Robert Kennedy Jr. and Kennedy for Alabama also joining me in studio. Hey.
Did I not turn on the right?
There we go. I have to press that button. There we go.
Do we have the right mic on now?
You'd think I'd have done this a time or two.
Once or twice, right?
Yeah, but I always forget. So, hey.
How you doing today, man?
Good. Good, man. We had our conversation there during the newscast. Great places to be on Independence Day.
Indeed. And you mentioned a couple of good ones. We've had the privilege of being in some of those locations. We've done the one personally in D.C.,
yeah, area,
which is absolutely phenomenal. I've done New York City as well.
Because, yeah, Jace was suggesting New York City being a great place.
And the thing about New York City that was cool, because we had so many friends there who were working in New York City, was you could get access to one of the buildings and actually be inside watching the fireworks as opposed to, you know, outside in the elements.
Right. And getting to probably watch multiple fireworks displays.
Indeed.
And then your lovely wife was talking about where I want to go. My number one on my list is Boston. To be at Boston on Independence Day.
With the Boston Pops playing in the background. I mean, that's pretty cool.
It's pretty American. Pretty American. Lot to talk about with you. We talked this end of last week and the first part of this week with the passing of an AL1 congressman of almost the brand name when it comes to outside of Jack Edwards. Almost the brand name of AL1.
Sure.
Sonny Callahan.
Sure. Absolutely. You know, I had told you before in our relationship, and I don't know whether or not the listening audience knows this, but we actually had a relationship with Congressman Sonny Callahan. I actually met him in high school.
Yeah, talk about the...
So, you may remember this is the fall of 1987. There was a big strike going on at one of the paper companies. I don't know which one it was. And so, Representative Callahan had done a town hall meeting, And I had gone to that town hall meeting. So at the time, I
See, Robert was precocious.
Yes. At the time, I was president of the student council, and we had decided for our project we were going to try to get our school air conditioned. So you know how
kids, y'all hearing that?
Kids today never know the struggle. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. So during the time that I was going to John S. Shaw High School, now Clark Shaw, it did not have air conditioning in the entire building. There was a new wing that had air conditioning, but the rest
everybody of it, tried to get that class.
Can you imagine actually sitting in class with no air conditioning?
Trying to concentrate.
So we went out there to that town hall meeting, and he was taking questions from the crowd. And, you know, 92% of the questions were with the strike.
Right.
And then I was just like, hey, my name is Robert Kennedy Jr. I'm here representing Shaw High School, and I'm trying to figure out how to get money to air condition my school. And he was just blown away. Right,
yep.
Because
yep.
of all of the stuff that was happening in that meeting. So he asked me to come up afterwards, and I went up, introduced myself again, started talking to him. And you know how the politicians, from a stereotypical standpoint, have this way of kind of making it look like they knew you already.
Right.
So he's telling me, yes, you know, I've heard about you. And I'm just like, yeah, right, you've never heard about me. Well,
right.
It turns out that he had. And the reason why was, in the application process for the United States Naval Academy, you're required to get a nomination from your congressperson or your U.S. senator.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of the guys that were early mentors and sponsors for me, Judge John Butler, who mm-hmm. was a long-term judge for the youth center there at Strickland, John Tyson Sr., Big John.
Yeah.
Those were all gentlemen that I had met through the American Legion youth programs, which shout out to the American Legion, particularly during this Independence Day season
yes.
for all the stuff they do for the youth. And so they had dropped my name to them because they knew I was a guy who was interested in the Naval Academy. And Representative Callahan had previously served in the Navy. So he just kind of took an interest and sort of shepherded me along. And I was fortunate enough and blessed enough to be admitted to the Naval Academy. But our relationship didn't stop there. So as an undergrad at the Naval Academy, I majored in political science. And so during the summer before my junior year, I had an extended break and I was home. And just to give you a little insight into my late mother, Vivian Kennedy, she told me that I was not allowed to sit around the house all day, that I actually needed to go out and find a job.
Yeah, you and I have the same mom.
Yeah, exactly, right? And so so I went down to the congressman's office and volunteered to assist. They were a little shocked that I was willing to come down and do that for no money.
Right.
But it was good. You know, when you think about being a, you know, 21-year-old undergrad and having exposure to the district office of your congressman,
yeah.
that's an education that you could never get actually sitting in the classroom.
Yeah, that's not theory. That's mm-hmm. reality.
It was.
Yeah.
And some of the things that I learned about leadership, in addition to the wonderful foundation we had at the Naval Academy, were actually things that I learned in that office. And I'll just give you a couple to highlight just the kind of person that Representative Callahan was. First thing is, whenever he was in his office, he took his phone calls.
And himself.
We were not allowed to screen them. So we weren't allowed to ask who was calling. We weren't allowed to ask what they wanted. If he was sitting in his office, all we did was pass the call through to him.
Y'all should look at the shock on my face mm-hmm. right now. Because
can you imagine?
No, I can't.
From a stereotypical standpoint,
right.
A politician who would be willing to do that?
Would just, I'm just going to, no call screening.
Yep.
I'm just going to take them.
That was the first thing. And so it really started to impress upon me that when somebody's reaching out to you for assistance, no matter what perceived level they are at, if you're in the position of providing service, you provide service to everyone and you do that service equally.
Yeah.
The second thing that struck me was, again, this is the district office, and I've often talked about one of the things that I found fascinating about my particular political run is that most of the things that we have the back and forth on, Republicans versus Democrats,
right.
is more national in origin.
Mm-hmm.
The stuff that is related to constituent services is all the same,
mm-hmm.
and that's not political at all. And so the other thing that we had to do when we were in that office was, regardless of whether or not something was a federal issue or a state issue, whenever somebody called with a request, we were required to help them. So one of my favorites is, I'm from Pritchard, and we would often get calls into the office about situations with Pritchard Water.
Right.
And so we would actually open up cases, write letters, make phone calls, even though the jurisdiction of Pritchard Water is not a federal thing.
It's not something for the congressman from the AL1 to deal with.
And so just imagine the combination of those two things, again, in my formative years of leadership, understanding what it means to treat everybody the same and to go above and beyond in order to try to actually help somebody.
Yeah.
And so it was just fascinating to be able to have that level of exposure at that very early age, and to know that, yeah, I can point to a specific individual who went well beyond what you would ever expect of somebody just to help me out, and then to continue to give me that type of exposure during those formative years so I could actually learn what was happening from a pragmatic standpoint, not just a theoretical one.
Yeah, and what a great lesson. And we're all that didn't get that lesson less for it, to see that. There's one thing, like you said, I mean, there's theory and learning in school and books,
sure.
And I did the same, but to see it in action.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, that's how I think we learn better. You know, we model after our parents and things like that, right? Or mentors like that, and they're not telling you have to do this. They're just doing the thing you're like, that's a good thing. I ought to do some more of that.
Mm-hmm. And one last part to just kind of add to a bit of comedy to our relationship. So I had that relationship in high school where we met. I interned as an undergraduate, spent a little time with him immediately after graduation, and then we reconnected in 1996.
Okay.
So it was a bit unfortunate. So my first tour in the Navy, I was stationed in Japan. My second tour in the Navy, I was stationed in Singapore. So this was between the two assignments.
Okay.
So I had to come home because my mother and father were both sick, and both of them were in the hospital at the same time.
Right.
So I was stationed or coming off of being stationed
halfway
in Japan.
Halfway around the world.
Yep. Yeah. My brother at the time was stationed in Korea. So both of us were overseas at the same time. So I'm home. I'm in the congressman's office, and we're all sort of having a conversation. And similar to the conversation that we had in high school, we're having a conversation about my future. And so the part that was serious that led to the part that was comical was I had a year left on my obligated service in the Navy at that time. So I would have had to serve for 5 years. I ultimately ended up serving 9.
Yeah, you went back,
five,
yes.
Right? And he was trying to say, hey, do you need my help if you're going to decide not to serve anymore because both of your parents are sick, you and your brother are both overseas, someone may have to come home and actually help out. And I told him, you know, that wasn't going to be necessary, that I was going to continue to fulfill my obligated service. And then he kind of looks at me and says, you know, we got to get your political career started as well.
So then
and I was like, okay, yeah, you know, we got to do that at a certain point in time. And he was like, hey, what I want you to do is I want you to come to the Young Republicans Club.
Yes, yes.
And so so we had a good laugh about that because I explained to him that wasn't going to happen.
Good for him. Good for Sonny Callahan trying to get you on the Republican ticket.
He's doing what he's supposed to do.
Yes.
He's doing what he's supposed to do. But the reason why I say that with an element of comedy to it was even though they knew where my political affiliation was at the time, there was not one single time, even when I was driving him around the district, when he was doing his district meetings, there was never a time that he didn't introduce me. There was never a time where he didn't say, hey, this is one of our best and brightest who's in Naval Academy and serving our country.
Right, introducing you to the right people, man.
There was never a meeting that they were having from a staff perspective where they were discussing an issue where they asked me to leave the room. And so, again, when you're confident in yourself, right, and you're confident in your particular positions, you don't have to do a lot of name-calling or mud-throwing or whatever. You just do what you do. And so I actually was blessed to run into Joe Bonner here, I guess, maybe 4 or 5 years ago.
Of course, chief of staff, y'all, for
yep, he was chief of staff for Congressman Callahan and had been a U.S. representative for this district as well. And when he saw me, and I hadn't seen him, you know, in, 20 plus, almost 30 years, he recognized me. We started talking, and as people were coming up, he was telling them, hey, did you know that Robert Kennedy Jr. was one of our Naval Academy nominees back in the day when I was on Sonny Callahan's staff? And so it was just kind of good to see that transfer from one generation to the next and understand that the influence that I felt that he had on my life because of my connection was reflected in his staff as well.
What
and that's really the true example of leadership is to be able to transition it from one generation to the next.
What a testament. What a great. These stories we're getting from different folks that had personal interactions, the stuff we can't get in a news report about the late congressman is really special.
One thing that I didn't mention, and I actually didn't know this at the time, when I talked about me applying to the Naval Academy and the folks who were talking to him about me, one of the things I didn't know until years later was that he had actually called my dad. And so imagine a sitting U.S. congressman calling somebody's father whose son wants to apply, right? And again, that's not the type of stuff that is the stereotypes associated with politicians. And so I wanted to make sure I gave that shout out as well, because that actually meant a lot to me.
Hey, before I want to get to tonight's show, but quickly have a second here. There's probably parents out there listening, have children in that age group. Talk about what your feelings are. And if you have a child that shows the proclivity, has the talent to make an application to one of our academies.
Sure. I say this all the time. You know, as long as young people continue to volunteer to serve, in my case, in the United States military, or even, you know, folks who go into law enforcement, folks who go into any type of first responder function or any type of public service, that's a wonderful thing. Mm-hmm. And that speaks good to our country. In my case in particular, focusing on the Naval Academy, if you have any young people who are interested in that, just go to usna.edu on the website, and you can find the information about how to apply there. Otherwise, reach out to Sean and contact him at FMTalk1065, and he'll get you in contact with me, and we'll get you in contact with the right people.
There you go.
As long as people volunteer to serve, we know our country's in good hands.
Beautiful. All right. Tonight, Kennedy for Alabama.
Yes, Kennedy for Alabama. It's hard to believe we are in season four, and it's an absolutely beautiful thing. As we were talking about off air, John Sharp was on the program last week. We are very happy and fortunate to have him on board for that. Tonight, we have Judge Carlos Findley as our lead-off interviewee. We are really excited about having the opportunity to talk to him on air and learn a little bit more about his candidacy and what his vision is for the city of Mobile. And then in the back half of the program, we have Mr. Maurice Horsey, who is the president of the Eastern Shore Democratic Club out of Baldwin County. And so, again, really excited to be able to talk to him as well. We're going to spend a little bit of time talking about COVID and what our numbers are here in the state of Alabama and how we can improve that going forward. So that's Kennedy for Alabama tonight at 6 o'clock p.m. live on FM Talk 106.5.
See, I mean, he doesn't even need me anymore for the intro, outro. All right, and we'll be tuned in tonight at 6. Coming right back, more Midday Mobile here at FM Talk 106.5.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
128 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. If you didn't catch it last hour, we got a winner in the Let Freedom Ring Summer Showcase. Garrett Wade, congratulations, won the grand prize. Big thank you to you and our great partners like Yellowhammer Fishing, Styx River Shooting Center, Lullabell's Pet Grooming, Chavis Furniture, and your CBD store of West Mobile, all for being part of this. Thanks, y'all. And congratulations, Garrett. And if you want to let me ride, you know, like just right behind you in that kayak, that'd be fine with me as well. All right. And coming up in just a second, Representative Andrew Sherrill is going to join us. He is running for state auditor. We'll talk with him. Also, text line's been really busy, and some more people coming in on places to be, like asking two things on our sidebar, right, is patriotic songs, and we'll talk about this more tomorrow as well. It could be whatever one suits you the best, but it's that kind of the unsung patriotic song, or the one that has it's maybe under a layer or two that I find most interesting. Chester says City of New Orleans by Arlo Guthrie or the Willie Nelson cover. I agree. Great, great American song. And then people are talking about places to be on Independence Day. You know, I got this thing to go to Boston. This texter, unnamed texter, says Boston was awesome for my 50th birthday, July 1st. and the 4th, D.C. is on my list. Yeah, and I got to do both of those on Independence Day. Got a birthday coming up next week, and I'll be just 1 year from being 50. So maybe I'll get that planned out for my 50th. All right, news and a weather update from staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams, and then we're coming right back with Andrew Sherrill.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
You know, that's another good one on our list as well. A couple in here from Mount Rushmore. So that's my list is getting long. I mean, Boston number one for like, not that I'm not going to be incredibly happy on Dolphin Island this weekend or in my backyard or like here at home. But, you know, that kind of, I don't know, bucket list place you'd like to be that's just like vertically and horizontally integrated to be like awesome for Independence Day, right? And I started, my thing is the Boston, you know, it'd be in Boston and watching the fireworks and listening to the Boston Philharmonic. And people are texting in that have done that, talked about how wonderful it is. Of course, nation's capital in Washington, but Mount Rushmore coming in with a lot of votes here on it too. That's good stuff. Drewski, funny. He like places to be on Independence Day, 4th of July, defiling the throne room at Buckingham Palace. Don't get me started. Don't get me started because we've got real radio to do here, and I'll chase that tennis ball for a long way, and you know it. That's why you said that. All right. As I mentioned before, we went to the news. I'm joined by, and somebody you've heard on the station, he's been on with Dana Dalton. I've been on with Jeff quite a bit. State Representative Andrew Sherrill is seeking the state auditor job currently held by Jim Ziegler, and he joins us now to talk more about it. Thanks for your time. Thanks for being on.
Sean, I really appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
So, other end of the state, right? You're from Muscle Shoals, right? The other bookend that grows. It seems like the South and the North have of our state have more in common maybe than the middle.
You know, you're exactly right. And somebody asked me the other day, said, why should somebody in Mobile vote for you? And I said, well, number one, I voted for Jim Ziegler last time because I thought he was the best person for the job. But number two, I know exactly how it feels to feel like you're on the fringes of the state and kind of forgotten about by Montgomery. So I think those are two very good reasons the Mobile people should consider voting for me.
Yeah, as we, I want to talk a bit about what, you know, you've done in the legislature. But let's, even though we've done this before, I think it's worth continuing to do. State auditor's job, what is that job?
Yeah, this was something I really had to research for myself, and the reason I researched it was there was a bill introduced in the legislature 2 years ago that would have eliminated the state auditor's position. So I had to go look and see, what does this position do? Is it valuable? The more I looked into it, the more I said, yes, we need to keep this position. State auditor tracks $1.7 billion worth of state property spread out over 176 different state agencies. Anything worth $500 or more is tracked by the state auditor's office. They do all this on a budget of less than $1 million. Which I think is a very good investment. $1 million to make sure we're not losing track of $1.7 billion of property. I think that's taxpayer money well spent.
Is this
state
stuff,
auditor also
is it stuff like
registrars
you said,
in 66 of the 67 counties? Another very important duty.
No, I want to get in the registrar part too. But before we get there, like when you talk about the $1.7 billion worth of state property, is it like computers and desks and stuff, or is it like big trucks and property, you know, or buildings? So what? What goes in that list?
Okay, so it's not the real estate. The real estate's tracked by the Department of Finance. But everything else you mentioned, yes. You're talking computers, hard drives, even if they're worth less than $500, anything with sensitive data on it is going to be tracked by the auditor. The pickup trucks, all the equipment, yes, all of those things. Anything $500 or more is tracked by the state auditor's office.
Wow, that's a bunch of stuff there. That's like, wow. Okay, so that's the scope of that part of it. Then you mentioned registrar. Yeah, talk about that.
Yeah, people don't realize that the state auditor actually has a lot to do with keeping our election process fair and free here in Alabama. And they say, what could the auditor possibly have to do with the election process? Well, the answer is you appoint a registrar in 66 of 67 counties. These are the people registering you to vote and perhaps more importantly, keeping the voter rolls clean. The people who moved away, went to jail, passed away, those people have to come off the voter rolls or, you know, they may find themselves voting from the graveyard if they don't. So I intend to appoint people to the Board of Registrars that are going to pledge they will keep those voter rolls clean. So that's the role that the auditor plays. And by the way, the auditor typically will attend those registrars' conferences they do. The state auditor always goes to those. I plan to do that as well.
And so, even though I know it's people say, well, yeah, it's a part-time job as a state legislator, I know enough people in the legislature know they work a lot of days that they're not in session. So y'all do have more than just the time you're in session. But now a state auditor's job is 365, right? I mean, this is a full-time.
Yeah, that's correct. And you're required to maintain a residence in Montgomery if you win. So, I mean, that would be a little bit of a change. But, yeah, being a state legislator, it's not like it's 30 days a year like people like to bill it to you. I mean, the truth is I carried 19 bills last year. Got one of them signed into law. But you know what? It took me a lot of off-season time to prep those bills, get co-sponsors, get things lined up with committee chairs so those bills would actually move in the legislature. So it's far from being a part-time job that everyone thinks that it is.
Yeah, and that it's good for whomever's on here talking with me. I like to point that out because it's just fact. That's not partisan anything. That's just fact because I know enough of y'all, and you know, I'm talking to folks that's not even close to session. Oh, well, I'm up in Montgomery. I'm doing this, or I'm in a meeting of this, and I'm working on that. So I think that is worth just noting because if people looked at it from the outside and didn't know that, they'd be like, they show up there at the end of January. They mess around, and by May, they're gone.
Right. Voting is probably the easy part of the job. That, you know, you just show up and hit the yes or no button. The difficult part of the job is everything else that people don't realize you have to do. All the phone calls you get at 9 o'clock at night, that people don't see that kind of stuff.
Talk to me about you as people down here, you know, get to know you. So you're a young man, got into the legislature. You're in your 30s, correct? But you're also a businessman.
That's correct. I was elected to the legislature at age 32. I flipped a seat that had been Democrat for 140 years. It was said to be an unwinnable seat for a Republican. But I raised $180,000. I knocked on 11,000 doors and handed out 30,000 palm cards. And I got 52% of the vote in that district and flipped it. I'm an entrepreneur. I've started two companies, the first when I was 16, the second when I was 28, both very successful companies. At one time, I had 40 employees. So I feel fully capable of managing a staff of a state auditor's office. I'm a private pilot. I'm an advanced scuba diver. I'm married. Yesterday was my 4-year anniversary, and good, I have a baby on the way due October 12th.
It's going to cut into the dive time. Just let me tell you, it's going to cut into your diving. Okay, prepare yourself for
I
that.
I think you're right.
And so, interesting as you talk about the number of bills in the legislature. How, like, this is, I know this is kind of a weird question, but how is it hard to let that go? Because you can affect change in the legislature, right? Or you can attempt to affect change and sometimes have success. How are you going to leave that behind for a job that, at least maybe you can change my mind, doesn't have that same kind of, you know, a description of the job of changing the path of Alabama?
Look, that was a huge decision for me. I mean, we didn't make this decision lightly. My wife and I talked and prayed about this for a long time because I have been an effective legislator. I got civil asset forfeiture reform through. A lot of people said that would never happen. Me and Senator Orr got that done this year. Governor signed it last month. I got my constitutional carry bill out of the House Public Safety Committee for the first time in the history of Alabama. 8-4 party line vote. That happened this year. Next year, I believe you're going to see that bill on the House floor for a vote, and maybe it'll become law. So leaving the legislature where I feel like I've been effective was very difficult. But, Sean, the truth is I feel like I can be more effective for more people in the state auditor's office because I am a true fiscal conservative. If you look at my voting record, nobody votes as conservative as I do on fiscal issues. And what better person is there to serve in the state auditor's office than someone who is a proven fiscal conservative? And when I say that, those aren't my words. That's the words of the Alabama Policy Institute, which gave me their 2020 Conservative Policy Warrior Award for tough votes I've taken on fiscal issues. That's the American Conservative Union, which came out today, rated me the number one most conservative legislator in Alabama. And also the Club for Growth Foundation rated me number one. There's three different organizations that rated my voting record number one in the state for conservatism or fiscal conservatism. So I believe I'm the right person for the job because I have a track record of being good on conservative fiscal issues.
All right, folks down here that want to get to know more about you, where do they go online? You got social media. Where should you steer them?
Well, there's two different places. They can go to andrewsorrell.com, and Sorrell is S-O-R-R-E-L-L. They can also find me on Facebook, Andrew Sorrell for State Auditor. Sure would appreciate them liking and following my page. And appreciate you having me on. This is an important position. It's going to get more attention this year with a lot of the other statewide positions simply being held by incumbents. The Secretary of State and Auditor's position are open seats. So these races are going to get more attention this year, and I hope that your listeners will consider voting for me.
Okay, and one last, there's a lot of questions, but one last, I'm going to ask this one from an unnamed texter here. Most important question for Andrew Sorrell, does he support a toll bridge in Mobile or not?
Well, I don't support them having to pay a toll to use the toll bridge in Mobile. I stood with the current state auditor on that whole block toll, the Accountability Project. I'm on the Facebook group and all that.
There we go. There's the answer for it. All right, Andrew Sherrill, appreciate your time. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you so much.
All right, coming right back, more of Midday Mobile. And a couple notes here. I mentioned it earlier, but really, special programming coming up on Monday as we bring more attention to the Fisher House, as we've done through the years. Fisher House programming for Independence Day coming up on Monday. All right. Get some news. Get some national updates here on the financial side, and we'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. Big holiday weekend eve here, right? Independence Day on the way. Which, by the way, if you got like an extra day to maybe, I don't know, get out in the yard, get through the house, identify some junk out there. I'd heard my buddy Trey calling in with the 1-800-GOT-JUNK traffic report this morning, which we appreciate as well. We always appreciate any of y'all if you want to hit us up through the app or the text line or the phone lines. If you see issues out there that you can help us with, as we got Kane and he does traffic, but you see things that he might not have seen yet. We appreciate that information. Trey did it this morning. And by the way, Trey's my buddy with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. We always talk about, you got junk at your house, outside your house, up in the attic. You got a storage unit you need cleaned out, whatever. If you identify, you maybe have an extra day here to identify some junk, and then make that appointment with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Real easy. Go online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com or just pick up the phone and call 1-800-GOT-JUNK, and they'll find a day that works for you, a window of time on that day that works for you, and that's when they come by. And they look at the job. You say, I need this and this and this other thing. And they'll quote your price. If you say yes, they get to work right then and get it done promptly, and they are efficient as a group for sure, as a buddy of mine, Trey. So give them a call, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, or just check out the website, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Hey, did y'all see this? I know it's been posted to our Twitter feed as well, but the story, the fireworks story, which is, and yes, maybe I'm typecast. That's a good thing, that I think Independence Day fireworks celebrations are pretty fantastic. Because, I mean, our founders even called for it. Which, oh, by the way, I want to read this. I think this is this is telling the things you can and can't do. So, remember, I am apt to believe that Independence Day will be celebrated by succeeding generations as our great anniversary festival. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. It ought to be solemnized, I can never say that word, never in my life, solemnized, with pomp and parade, with shoes, but that's S-H-E-W-S, games, sports. Here's the things. That's what I'm saying. Like, as you celebrate Independence Day, the fireworks we get, but do you do games? Do you sports? Guns? Can't do that now. Yeah, don't do the stupid shooting up in the air stuff. Do not. Remember that, because the bullet comes back down. Bells, bonfires, and illuminations from one end of this continent to the other from this time forward evermore. So get out and shoo, S-H-E-W, over the Independence Day weekend. All right, so we're talking fireworks, and the story from out in Los Angeles. So they get these, they go, well, here, let's just read the story. This is from KTLA. So this is the story of the illegal fireworks, and then what happens. So it says, a cache of illegal fireworks seized at South Los Angeles home exploded Wednesday evening, damaging nearby homes and cars and injuring at least 16 people, three of them seriously. Police said they had called in a bomb squad after a tip led them to seize some 5,000 pounds of illegal homemade and China-manufactured pyrotechnics. That's racist. China, because Chinese invented it, right? The China-manufactured pyrotechnics at about noon on Wednesday. One man was arrested on suspicion of possessing fireworks and destructive devices, and also on suspicion of child endangerment because two children were found in the home. Okay. Some of the fireworks appeared to be large mortar-sized devices used for commercial purposes. Sweet. Pallet loads of fireworks were placed into an LAPD tractor trailer and hauled away for disposal But at some point, some of the devices that had been placed inside the armored container on a LAPD big rig exploded and burst into flame, demolishing the truck. And you watch the video. It's something. The blast, caught by news crews, also knocked a nearby car on its side, smashed the windows of several others, and blew out windows in a neighboring home. One news helicopter pilot said the blast shook his aircraft, and some residents two blocks away say they were jolted by the explosion. Six people taken to the hospital, three with serious injuries and three with minor injuries. In addition, nine LAPD officers and Federal Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, Explosives officer had minor injuries and were taken to the hospital in fair condition. Okay, so ATF agent had injuries from this. At the same time, so there's a story out of LA. So in my inbox this morning, I'm always excited when I see something from the ATF pop into my inbox. And so they send me this from ATF, Does it come on? Was the timing? I don't know, because it doesn't say because of the news story in Los Angeles. It just says ATF fireworks safety, right? It says ATF promotes fireworks safety. So right now it's the ATF agent that got hurt from the fireworks. But it says Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives wants the public to be safe during the 4th of July, understanding the dangers associated with illegal or improperly used manufactured fireworks can prevent severe injuries, disfigurement, or even death. All right, so here's the suggestion. So it says ATF is a federal law enforcement agency charged with enforcing federal explosive laws and works with Consumer Product Safety Commission, along with state and local agencies, through their fireworks enforcement safety programs to provide a safe environment for the public regarding the use of these products. Okay, so here's your list. Here's the not do list. Never allow young children to play with or ignite fireworks. Agreed, okay. Always have adult supervised fireworks activities. Parents don't realize that young children suffer injuries from sparklers. Now that's a true thing. The sparkler, I wonder if we could weld with a sparkler. And we do. We give the sparklers to our kids. It says sparklers burn at temperatures of about 2,000 degrees, hot enough to melt some metals. Never place, here's one, just picture this one, y'all. Never place any part of your body directly over a firework device when lighting the fuse. So no body part, you hear Matt Dalton, over the firework. Light fuse, get back, right? Stand back, light fuse. Back up to a safe distance immediately after lighting the firework. Also said never try to relight or pick up a firework that have not ignited fully. I think that's kind of a... I think we know that one. Now we're at number six on this list, Dalton. This is coming from the ATF now. I mean, it's coming from the Nashville office. Series went to my... Never point or throw fireworks at another person, Dalton. And it says keep a bucket of water or a garden hose handy in case of a fire. Then they have some additional things here. Never carry fireworks in your pocket or shoot them in metal or glass containers. What? It's a great launcher, like a metal pipe. Then after fireworks complete their burning, douse the spent device with plenty of water from the bucket or hose before discarding it to prevent a trash fire. Also, make sure fireworks are legal in your area. Well, there's that. Check your local laws and ordinances before buying or using them. Well, you can buy them. And then they have a listing. And tomorrow on the show, I'll go through the catalog because I get my fireworks things enough that they send me catalogs for fireworks. And so we'll go through some of the names this year, some of the new names, some of the classics of the fireworks, because it's a highly amusing grouping of names. But the ATF has also said here, many law enforcement agencies consider these, and I'm going to get to them, explosive devices, commonly referred to as M80s, M100s, quarter-six cherry bombs, and silver salutes. They are illegal because they exceed the CPSC's explosive weight limits for consumer fireworks. Additionally, these devices may also be illegal under similar state laws and local ordinances. So, yeah, M80s. M80s against the law. So if you're buying an M80, either you're running afoul of the law or you're really not buying an M80. You're like buying an M79. The silver salute, the M100, no go. Can't have it. It has, okay, so if an M80 has 3 grams explosive mixture, the M100 has 9 grams. And then the M250, which as a boy, I only heard discussed. I never saw one. It was always like somebody's brother had a cousin that it's, it has 13 grams of explosive mixture in it. And it's the biggest one I'd ever heard of. And then they add to this, which is, like they say, a quarter stick of dynamite, the M1000. I never even heard about these when I was a kid. 30 grams of explosive mixture. Can't have that one either. So, but it was, mind you, it was a combination of LAPD and the BATF out in Los Angeles that blew up a tractor trailer full of fireworks. So just with that, I'll light fuse and get away and do it again tomorrow. Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next. Y'all have a great one.